Over to you, Earl.
Okay. I'd like to say good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
I trust we all had a good day.
Yeah.
A good week so far. Mm-hmm. I am amazed by the fact that it's now the 30th of September. 9 months has gone.
Don't even talk.
Imagine.
9 months has gone, and you just wonder where has this year gone so far?
COVID took it.
Yeah. Yes, COVID took it away.
We can give God thanks, and we come to another Wednesday night when we can come and worship and fellowship together. Mm. So before we go into God's word, can we just have a word of prayer? Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for taking us through the day gone. We thank you for waking us up this morning and carrying us through the hours. And we ask, Lord, that even where we have sinned, we ask for your forgiveness and for your power that we may overcome. Mm-hmm. We come, Lord, to learn of your word. We pray that you will give us the understanding and the hope that we need, even in these trying times. So, Lord, just be with us now, and at the end, we can give you thanks. We do ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We've all heard it before that these are trying times.
Yes, it is.
Really trying times.
Yeah.
And it's as if, humanly speaking, we can't see any way out. Despite the government doing all they can and spending all the money that they can get their hands on, it's not making things better. And you know, it's this COVID-19 pandemic is really hitting people hard, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. We're having to deal with rules wherein when we come near each other, we have to wear face masks, and especially when we have to travel on the transport or go into shops. We have to maintain the 2 meter distance rule. And if we do have the virus, we have to self-isolate for 14 long days. And this causes a lot of tension, a lot of worry, a lot of anger amongst the people of the land. But you know, despite that, we serve a great God. And despite all that is going on, we know that he is in control. And so I've come across this text of scripture, which is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And it's a well-known one. We've heard this text of scripture so many times, but I'll share it with you this evening. And it simply says this: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." Now, there is a word in this text that comes up twice, and that word is rest. And it's not just physical rest. It's not just the 8 hours or 9 hours sleep that we need each night, but it's mental rest, spiritual rest, emotional rest. And Jesus bids us come to him for rest. We live in an age where things are happening constantly. It seems that we're always on the go. Well, now we're not so much on the go because of this epidemic, but before it came, it's like we were always on the go. We got up, we went to work, we worked through the day, we came home, we had something to eat, and then before we know it, it was bedtime. It's as if there was no time for rest, no time to have some balance, some semblance in one's life. It was like all we did was eat, sleep, and work. And then even when it comes to Sabbath, we went to church, but it's like even Sabbath was like another working day for those of us who hold church office. It's like we're always on the go. And then at the end, we would just feel tired. We would probably feel frustrated and we would think, Lord, when will this thing come to an end? I suppose if we look at it now, this pandemic has caused us to have to back off because of the lockdown imposed. And I suppose for many people, the lockdown is a kind of rest because they're not rushing anymore. Although the other problem is now you're not working, so you haven't got money coming in. But just imagine not having to rush day after day after day, just having rest. You know, the Lord wants us to have a relationship with him wherein we can rest in him. That's why he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Notice the word all, not some, not most, not even a few, but the message is for all, everyone, even 5 billion people on planet Earth. This message is for the whole world. All ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Many people have to take sleeping pills because they may have sleep disorder in order to have rest. But Jesus here isn't giving us sleeping pills, be it medical or herbal or otherwise. He's giving us his power to be at rest and to be at peace with him. And that's beautiful, because it means that once you are resting in Jesus, you don't have to worry. You know the words of the song, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. And we can only experience this when we are resting in Jesus. And he wants everybody to have this rest. You know, there are some societies and some organizations wherein you have to be chosen. You have to be invited before you are allowed to be a part of that group. No one else can come in, only the chosen few. But I'm so glad that my God isn't like that. You know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever or all that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God wants everybody, those who accept him as Lord and Savior, to come unto him and lay down their burdens and find rest. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the burdens are. It could be family problems, marriage problems. It could be employment problems. It could be financial problems. It could be problems with health. It could be problems with oneself. It could be spiritual problems. But whatever the problems are, Jesus bids us to come to him. I love that. It means that I, as Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, I can approach the throne of grace boldly, with full assurance, and find rest in time of need. Now, this is where I like in verse 29. It says this: take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So here we learn of who Jesus is as a person. Jesus says that he is meek and lowly. In other words, he's humble, because Jesus humbled himself as a man. You know, divinity became humanity. Divinity put on humanity, and he walked amongst us as one who was, as it were, made like us in his image. So Jesus knew what it was like to be tired. Jesus knew what it was like to be hungry. Jesus knew even what it was like to be depressed. And why do I say that? Because when Jesus was in Gethsemane, you know, when he knew that his time was come, when he was to be arrested, tried, and crucified, he was in that garden of Gethsemane, brethren, and he was depressed, considering the fact that he had to shoulder the sins of the world upon his shoulders. For me, that's depression. But Jesus went through that, so that now Jesus is our high priest, and he knows what it's like to be depressed, because, you know, as the saying goes, been there, done that, worn the t-shirt. He knows what it's like. So Jesus bids us to take our yoke upon him and learn of him, for he is meek and lowly. He is humble. He's lowly. He's not arrogant. He's not rude. He's approachable, and you can relate to him. I'm currently reading a book. I think you may have heard of this book before. It's written by a guy by the name of Bill Hughes, and it's entitled The Enemy Unmasked. And it tells, this book was published in 2004, and it tells of an organization that's seeking world domination. Now, in the prophecies, we learned of the four beasts in Daniel. We learned of, the image, the head of gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron. And we notice the beast that wasn't given a name, and the iron represents a power, and this power is Rome. And it talks about a organization called the Jesuits. And the Jesuits are an organization still active, and they're seeking world domination. They're seeking that the Roman Catholics will dominate the world. And so it's an interesting book, and I would urge you to get a copy and read it. It's called The Enemy Unmasked, and it's by Bill Hughes. Now, Jesus in verse 29 says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Now, sadly, not everyone is meek and lowly in heart. In chapter 4 of this book, I'm just going to read a short few lines of a man by the name of Thaddeus Stevens. Now, Thaddeus Stevens was a party leader, and he lived in the 1860s and was a member of Congress. And this is what he says about him. He says his tremendous power as a party leader lay in the biting bitterness of his tongue and the dominating arrogance of his manner, before which weaker men shriveled. When a colleague dared question the wisdom of his policy, he replied with studied contempt that he did not purpose either to take his counsel, recognize his authority, or believe a word he says. His flings were consuming flame, his invectable terrible to withstand. One who observed him well thought that the intensity of his hatred was almost next to infernal. There were no neutral tones in his vocabulary. He had no sympathy with failure. Thus, there was a hardness about him that made men dread him. Time and again, he was to enter a party caucus with sentiment against him to tongue lash his followers into line. It was easier to follow than to cross him. He had all the domineering arrogance of the traditional boss. He brooked no opposition. Schwartz, a colleague of Stevens, noted even in his conversation a certain absolutism of opinion with contemptuous scorn for adverse argument. He was a dictator who handed down his decrees, and woe to the rebel who would reject him. And he could not compromise. That was at once his strength and weakness. It made him a leader while he lived and a failure in the perspective of the years. He held no counsel, heeded no advice, hearkened to no warning, and with an iron will, he pushed forward. His instincts bade fighting if need be, opinion of his time, and turning it by sheer force to his purpose. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Thaddeus Stevens, a congressman of the 1860s. Now, can you imagine if our God was like Thaddeus Stevens? Could you imagine us having to live day by day under a God with this kind of character? Imagine, folks, if you had a spouse or a parent or a brother or sister or a friend or a relative or someone you know. Imagine if that person was like Thaddeus Stevens. I think we would find life very and extremely unbearable. And that's the way Thaddeus Stevens was. He was arrogant. He was proud. He was haughty. No one could talk to him. But I'm so glad that Jesus is not like that. I'm so glad that at times I can be angry with the Lord, and yet he still loves me. I remember on Sabbath, Pastor Sewell in his sermon stated that even when he disobeyed God, even when he turned away from God, even when he sinned, God still loved him. That's the God we serve. And that's the God we need to stick to. Because as time gets nearer to his coming, and you know, we don't often say it now, but we are told that nearer Christ coming, the Spirit of God will be gradually withdrawn from the earth. And so the hearts of men will become colder and more wicked. But we can still come to Jesus while mercy's door is still open. And so we need to make good now the opportunities that we have. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, God is saying, give me your heavy burdens, and I will give you a burden with a difference. A burden that's not burdensome. A burden that's not heavy. A burden that does not inflict excruciating pain. A burden that will give you peace, a burden that will give you joy, a burden that will draw you close to me. This is what Christ is offering to us. And so tonight, I would really like to say to us, let us hold on to what we have. Let us appreciate our faith. And let us come to know God for ourselves. You know, I don't know if any of us was listening to the Generation X Rewired program that was on 5 o'clock Sabbath evening. Pastor Nichols was giving his address. And he said something which I thought was very disturbing. And he says that, you know, there are folks in the church, they know the procedures and they know the policies and they know the worship services and the church extremely well. But he said, there's another side to them. Some of these people can be as mean as a rattlesnake. And I thought, wow, that is serious. And then he went on to say that many people in the church would be lost. And he quoted Ellen G. White, who says that she saw whole conferences lost, going to outer darkness. Brethren, I pray tonight that you and I won't be amongst that group, because God is not in the business of losing people. He's in the business of saving people. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to have eternal life. But he won't force it on us. He won't, make us do something that we don't want to do. And it reminds me of something that someone gave to me yesterday. there's a leaked document regarding COVID-19, and it showed government plans of having this COVID-19 testing up to 10 million people a day. And one of the plans is in a way to force people to take this vaccine. And if you don't take this vaccine, there are things in place that will make your life difficult. For instance, you will not be allowed to leave your home. You will not be allowed to go to work. You will not be allowed to go to the shops. You will not be allowed even to travel. And you will have something, be a device or a piece of software, which you will have to use once to show that you have been tested. Now, this, to a lot of people, is an infringement of people's rights and liberties. This is what this BMJ leaked document is not stating, but stipulating what the government plans to do. But when we look at it as human beings, we know that this is an infringement of our rights and liberties. But you know, Jesus does not infringe on our rights. Jesus has never infringed on our liberties. Jesus has given us the choice. And the choice, when it comes to salvation, is ours and ours alone. So at the end of the day, if Earl Johnson is lost, it's because Earl Johnson chose to be lost. But if Earl Johnson is saved, it's because Earl Johnson committed his life to Jesus, and his life hid in him has enabled me to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is something else that Pastor Nichols actually alluded to as well. He says we can have just because we have our names written in the church records as good and standing members, it does not mean that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the thing is, I can have my name written in Stoke Newington's records, but at the same time, my name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So these are things we need to think about, and day by day, you know, I'm sure we have our struggles. Every one of us have our struggles. But you know what? God is there for us. God has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. And I can testify God's goodness. I can testify of the fact that when God says something, he means it, and he's always true to his word. You know, when it comes to God, we have to exercise faith. You know, when you travel on the train, say from Liverpool Street, you got on a train and you're going to Enfield Town. On the timetable, you can see what time the Enfield Town train will leave Liverpool Street. It will tell you the time and the platform. And it also will give you the list of stations which will stop on its way to Enfield Town. So once it leaves Liverpool Street, it will go to Bethnal Green, Cambridge Heath, London Fields, Hackney Downs, Rectory Road, Stoke Newington, Stamford Hill, Seven Sisters, Roof Grove, Silver Street, Edmonton Green, Bushell Park, Enfield Town. We know because we can see it. We can see it. But with Jesus, He has his schedule. And we know that the destination is heaven. But he will never tell you when you're going to go somewhere, where you're going to go, and with whom, and how things will end up. He never does that. So we have to exercise faith. You know, when God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only begotten son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. That's all God said to Abraham. Didn't say anything else. He says, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. You know, Abraham had to go by faith. Abraham had to trust you. Abraham must have been thinking, what on earth is the Lord saying? But he did not question. He just did it. And even when he laid Abraham on the altar, he did it by faith. And so when he raised his hand with the knife to slay his son, that's when God stepped in. Abraham, Abraham. For now I know that thou fearest God, in that you were prepared not to withhold your son, your only begotten son, from me. That's how God acts. So we have to go by faith. And brethren, that's not easy. Going by faith is not easy. Faith at times can be draining. Faith at times can be testing. Faith at times can be taxing. But we just have to go by faith. Because at the end of the day, who else can we put our faith in? Who else can we put our trust in? Can we put our trust in Donald Trump? Can we put our trust in Boris Johnson?
You can try.
we can try. You know, can we put our trust in Vladimir Putin? You know, can we put our trust in man? But when we think of the outcome and of the things that God has done for his people, as we read his word, we can realize that, you know what, at the end of the day, we just have to put our faith in God.
Thank you.
So tonight, as I finish off, I want to encourage us. Let us hold fast that which we have. We don't know what will happen come October. I mean, for me, October will be a special month because it'll be my birthday, October. But apart from that, I don't know else what October will bring. But I do know that if God has kept us during the past, three months of this year. And that's all we can do. Put our trust in him. I don't know when we will be able to come back to church to worship and fellowship. But you know what? The matter is in God's hands. We don't even know when this pandemic will come to an end, if it will come to an end. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, the matter is in God's hands, and all we can do is put our trust in him. So tonight, I pray that we will just raise our hearts to God and let him know that comes what may, we will put our trust in him. You know, Job went through a terrible experience. He lost everything. Even he lost his children. But the memorable words he said was, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So, brethren, let's be faithful unto the end.
earlier muted. Can you unmute yourself?
All right.
You got lost.
Yeah, say that again now.
Can we now just ask the Lord to bless and keep us so that when he comes, you know, we will spend eternity with him. And this we can ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
you. Okay, brethren, so I'm just going to pray and then we will end. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious and eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises that never fail. I ask, Lord, that you will be with those who are on the call tonight and those who couldn't make it. I pray that you will be with them also. Lord, we are going to be entering into a new month. We don't know what the month of October will bring. But Lord, as you kept us through the 9 months of this year, so I know that you'll keep us throughout this coming month. Bless each and every one. Be with those who are bereaved. Be with those who are sick. Be with those who are discouraged. Lord, we commit them into your care. Bless us now and forever, we pray, when time shall be no more. Save us all into thy kingdom. We do ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.